we open the book Revelation, we pray, God, that we might see a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in His name. Amen. Three visitors from outer space. We're living in awesome times. Statesmen, philosophers, theologians, teachers, people from all walks of life are frightened and frustrated over world conditions. Even the casual observer of world events recognizes something awesome, something terrible, something cataclysmic is about to happen. The destiny of Earth's teeming millions is about to be decided. It's what the scriptures refer to as the time of the end, or the end of time. It's the time of the end politically, according to the prophetic book Revelation. It's the end of time economically, according to the prophetic book Revelation. It's the end of time prophetically, according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the time of the end. And the concluding events of the apocalyptic book of Revelation are taking place now around the globe. The second coming of Jesus Christ, the ushering in of the millennial age, is upon us. And yet it's sad to me as a minister of the gospel and a student of Bible prophecy to consider that with everything that's happening in our world, everything that's happening around us, the world going sour, that millions, untold millions of people are blowing bubbles on the deathbed of civilization. It's strange to me that in this world that crowds eternity, in this world that stands before the very climactic event, the coming of Jesus Christ, the end of things as we know it now, that there are millions of sensation-seeking, sex-centered, thrill-seeking, spiritually dwarfed and morally twisted people. And they're not conscious or concerned about their eternal destiny. Playing, as it were, tiddlywinks while the world is burning. Laughing its way to hell. And just to think that the appeal of Calvary, of Jesus Christ, that the call of eternity and the thundering of judgment has little or no effect upon this sin-saturated society. As one studies the book of Revelation, in the prophecies of that great book, one is made aware of the fact that God is preparing a people. That God is at work in our world, that God is at work in society, preparing a people for His return. He is working out the salvation of mankind. Everything in God's power is being used to warn a civilization. Everything is used by God right now to warn and to proclaim the second advent of Christ. His one great concern is for the lost. His one great concern is that men and women living in our generation, men and women living today, might know Him as personal Savior, that they might be redeemed and saved from the cataclysmic end and might be redeemed into the kingdom of God. The mighty work of God is culminated by the visit of what John says are three angels. The message of three angels, a loud cry message, and it's God's last warning to a degenerate world. It's God's last hope for men and women living in sin. It's a world, a warning to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, and to every people. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Revelation, the 14th chapter. For here we have this prophetic message of three angels of warning. I say the most important message in the book of Revelation is what these angels have to say to a fallen world. What these angels have to say to a degenerate generation. What God has through these angels to say to you and to your home. Notice here in the 14th chapter of Revelation, and looking at verse 6, it begins, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell in the earth, to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, and to every people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." And there followed another angel, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast or his image, and receive a mark in the forehead or in his right hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." Now here we have a threefold message. the last message to this generation, the last message to the world. And it's what the Bible scholars call and prophetic scholars call the three angels' message of Revelation 14. Now we must understand the love of God necessitates a message of warning. He said in the book of Amos, the third chapter, these words, the third chapter of the book of Amos, and verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. The Bible says He does nothing but reveal the secrets unto His servants, the prophets, and the prophets in turn deliver that message that men and women might be warned, that men and women might be prepared. And I'm going to say that there's not a man, a woman, not a college student here in this place, in this sanctuary, at this service, that will not be utterly warned by God, utterly prepared by God for the second advent of Jesus Christ. He's preparing a world through the message and the preaching of the message of the three angels. God will not do anything cataclysmic. God will do nothing in judgment without first giving a warning to His creatures. He kept that word down through the centuries. To Adam and Eve, God warned, the day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that will be the day you'll die. There was a direct warning. That's found in Genesis 3, verse 2 and 3. In these words, we find that Adam and Eve were fully aware that they were not to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day that they would die. It was a warning of God. It was a message of preparation. But they failed. They turned their back on God's warning and they sinned. I think of the antediluvian world, the world before the flood, the world before Noah's day. It had preparation. It had a message that was preached for 120 years, preparing that people to enter the ark of safety, preparing that people for the end of the world and the destruction by water and the destruction by the judgments of God. Noah stood up and he became the angelic message proclaiming the power of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and preparing men to enter the ark of safety. But in the antediluvian world, they turned their back upon the message of God. They turned their back upon the warning of God, and they perished in the flood. Yes, the message found refuge. Those who obeyed it found refuge and safety and salvation in the ark. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, those two wicked cities, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the wickedness of those cities, because they broke the commandments of God, they turned their heart against God, like stone against God. God warned them. He brought angels to that city, and He warned them of destruction, and they were destroyed. And only those who obeyed the voice of God, who left that city by faith, were the ones that were saved. God warned. In the days of Nineveh, that mighty city, God sent a man by the name of Jonah. Jonah first tried to run from that message. He tried to run from delivering that message of deliverance, but God found him there in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a great fish. God found him and God sent him to Nineveh. And that man went preaching the message of deliverance to that city. And Nineveh was warned. In the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His humanity, when He came incarnate into the world, walked the face of the earth, God warned. He used a man by the name of John. He was called John the Baptizer. And there he was in the wilderness, John, and he called sin by its rightful name. And the great tragedy of our world today, the great tragedy from the pulpit today, is that they're not men fearless enough to preach the truth of God and call sin by its right name. But John stood up, and he preached the truth of God. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it was a clear message. It was a clear message. He was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 40 and verse 3. And all down through the ages, God has been faithful to His promise. God has been faithful, and prophecy verifies it, and prophecy testifies to it, that God will not let a world perish without a message. And so in Revelation, as things come to a climax, in Revelation, as all the events of prophecy come to its fullness, God brings a message, and they're like three angels flying in the midst of heaven. Three angels. God has a peculiar message. Peculiar message. Now John the Revelator was out on the barren isle of Patmos when this vision came to him. He was captive and he was imprisoned for his faith. And among the visions that came to him was the vision of the threefold message of Revelation. And the first message says in verse 6 of Revelation 14, it says this, the first angel's message, notice, And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The first message is the everlasting gospel. It's good news that Christ is the Savior. That's the gospel. It's good news that Christ is the Creator. That's the gospel. It's the good news that Christ is the judge and the mediator between God and man. That's the good news of the gospel. I want to say today in this prayer meeting service, and I want to say today over this program Impact, that it's good news God loves us. It's good news that God came to redeem us. It's good news that God is coming to reclaim us. It's good news. It's the good news of the gospel. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the good news. Incarnation of Jesus Christ. He came as a seed in the womb of a woman. Was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. This preacher believes in the virgin birth. He believes in the incarnation of the Son of God. He came. He was born. He lived. And he died. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The everlasting gospel. No man, no power can destroy the everlasting gospel. Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus was lived, the perfect life. The pure life and righteous life of Jesus Christ. It was lived, he was spotless, blameless, sinless in character. In all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. That's a part of the everlasting gospel. And that Christ died once and for all to reconcile man to God. That through his shed blood we are brought into fellowship with God now and forevermore. That's the everlasting gospel. He suffered, he bled, and he died. And Calvary is the very crux, the very pivotal point, the very center of the everlasting gospel. Jesus Christ so loved the world, he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the everlasting gospel. And it's to be preached to every nation, to every kindred, to every people. Christ the Savior. But the everlasting gospel is more than that. The everlasting gospel teaches us plainly that Christ was not only Savior, Christ was Creator. That's a part of the everlasting gospel. Worship Him that made heaven and earth. In a few weeks, I'm going to speak on that monkey trial, creation and evolution. You need to tune into the program. Creation and evolution. But worship Him that made heaven and earth. That's a part of the everlasting gospel. He says that Jesus Christ was the Creator. Colossians 1:16, by Him were all things created. Lord is Savior. Lord is Creator. That's a part of the everlasting gospel. Hebrews 1:2, by whom also He made the worlds. In John 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him. That's a part of the everlasting gospel. The good news is that one who created us saved us. And then thirdly, Christ is the judge. It's comforting to know. It's comforting to know that the one who created us, it's comforting to know that the one who saved us is the one who judges us. Isn't that comforting to know? That the one who saved us, the one who created us, is the one who judges us. And I'll tell you, He'll judge righteously. He'll judge as a father judges. He'll judge in love and judge in mercy. And He created us. He who saved us intercedes for us. Jesus Christ, all judgment will be put in the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. Revelation 15 and verse 4 and Revelation 16 verse 7. The third fact of the first angel's message is that Christ is the judge. He judges righteously, mercifully, and He judges fully. That's the everlasting gospel. And it's the first angel's message. It's the first part of this message, brothers and sisters. It's the first. Let's not put it to the last. It's the first. But the second angel message, look at this, friend, it's a warning to our generation, to civilization today. And notice what God says in warning here in Revelation 14 and verse 8. The Bible says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon is fallen. That's the second message. And it's a message that Babylon stands for confusion. It's a confused ethics, confused philosophy, confused theology. There's going to come a day when that confusion of apostate Protestantism, that confusion of a world who's turned its back upon God for tradition, that it's going to crumble, it's going to fall, and the people of God will go through to the kingdom. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. The saints will inherit the earth. There's a day coming. And mighty Babylon will fall. Mighty Babylon. I tell you, Babylon, first Babylon erected its tower.
And it erected its tower and said, we'll build a tower and we'll escape the judgments of God. You remember the history of Babel? And there it was, that great tower, to get away from the judgments of God. But God brought Babylon low. It was a confusion of tongue. It was a confusion of mind. It was a confusion of heart. And they were dispersed and scattered. It was Babylon of old, the pagan Babylon, world Babylonian system. And before Jesus comes, there will be a world religious Babylonian system. It will be a world of confused ethics, a pagan world. It will be a world false to the word of God. And there it will be of self-exaltation and righteousness by works. Come, let us build ourselves a city, was the cry of Babylon. And God says in Revelation that the message will be that Babylon will fall. Righteousness by works will fall for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's going to fall. Humanism will fail. Let us make a name for ourselves. That was the cry of ancient Babylon. That's the cry of modern Babylon. You see, humanism. Look, see the great tower that we have built. This generation of gadgets and gimmicks. Look, see humanism. Humanism said, look, see what great city I have built. Humanism escaped the judgments of God by human effort. We can make a utopia here upon this earth, build upon self-exaltation, but God says it will crumble. And God has never failed. Humanism greeted this century with a smile. Progress. Human effort, human ingenuity. Science proclaims, look what we have discovered. Progress, self-exaltation, inventions, automobiles and steam engines and electricity and airplanes. Look what we have done. We don't need God. Look what we have built, humanism. And you say that in your own heart, many of you. You turn your back upon God. You don't have that spiritual dimension in your life. You think you can get along without God. Humanism, Babylonian condition. Babylonian condition. It's all around us. We see it everywhere. The Babylonian condition. But God says Babylon will fail and Babylon will fall. But God says there's a third message. And I want you to look at it. Revelation the 14th chapter. Revelation the 14th chapter, and let's look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. The most terrible warning in all the pages of Scripture are found here in this third angel's message. Found in the center of this gospel is a warning to those that receive the mark of the beast in their foreheads or in their right hand. I tell you, it puts before the last generation of mankind a clear and final issue, which has reached its climax. It was the Elijah message. Why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. And that's the cry of the three angels. That's the cry of the Elijah message of the last days. That's what God is trying to say to you through impact. That there's going to come a day when men and women will have to decide between truth and error, between Christ and Satan, between the Lord lifted up or Babylon fallen. There needs to come a time. There has to come a time when we have to decide between the commandments of God and the traditions of men. Between the false Sabbath and the true Sabbath. Between the real Savior and the false Savior. Between the Christ and the Antichrist. And there's going to have to come a time. And a day. It's a call to the seal of God. And I'll tell you, that seal of God is reflected fully the character of Jesus Christ in us. Why in Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9, it tells us that clearly. That is it. Sealed and set aside by God. Clad in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. Faultless we stand before the throne. Faultless. Oh, what a particular and peculiar people living for Jesus Christ fully, completely covered in the cloak of His righteousness. I'll tell you, there's no easy way about it. They may try to make religion easy for you, but there's no easy way about it. God calls us to battle. God calls us to war. God calls us to stand steadfast against the enemy. He says, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he might devour. He says, put on the whole armor of God. You're going to battle. You're not going to the place of utopia. You're not going down the gilded road, the golden road of ease. He says, stand firm. Be faithful. Be faithful. setting aside a people. What a marvelous God that will do that for wretched sinners, set aside a people in His own character. What a marvelous God. This message of warning is going on right now. And in Revelation 3, verse 20, the Bible tells us this. Revelation 3 and verse 20. I want you to notice it. Revelation 3 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down by my Father in his throne." All because of God's great love, because of God's great grace, because of God's great patience, because of God's great salvation, this last message is going to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And there's not a place around the world where you can't hear that message of the three angels being preached. You can go to the darkest jungles of Africa and you'll hear the word. You can go up into the highest mountains of the Himalayas, and somewhere along the trail you'll hear the message of the three angels. It's being proclaimed north and south, east and west. It's being proclaimed around the world. Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. It's being proclaimed. Here are they that love God. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. It's being proclaimed. Three angels. It's preparing a world for that great day when Jesus Christ will come. I know not if he comes at eve, or night, or morn, or noon. I know the breeze of twilight gray that fans the cheek of dying day doth ever whisper, "Soon." I know not if the chariot wheels yet near or distant are. I only know its thunder roll doth wake an echo in my soul that says, "Not far, not far." Christ who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," said, "I will come again."
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.